Broadcasting from the campus of Salisbury University, this is WSDL Ocean City, NPR News Talk 90.7, putting Delmarva first. It's time for Delmarva Today with your host, Don Rush.
When history is taught in American schools, it can sometimes minimize the contribution of African Americans, Hispanics, even the role of women. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush, and this morning we want to take a look at how history and other subjects are taught and how inclusion of all parts of American society benefits all students. Our in-studio guests are Mary Ashanti. She's with the Wacomico County branch, the NAACP. John Andes, he's the former superintendent at the Worcester County Public Schools, and Salisbury University student, Simone Brown. She's a senior here and also studying communications. Welcome to you all. John, I want to first start with you because you have involvement in this idea about trying to diversify the way we look, particularly at things like history and social science. And I guess, as I've been reading, a lot of this obviously grows out of the 1960s with a certain awareness of the fact that this is a far more diverse nation than we sometimes had given it credit for in the past. Describe for me your own experience in terms of being a superintendent of a school or school system that has that kind of diversity in it.
Well, Don, I thank you very much for this opportunity today. And actually, I started as a high school social studies teacher. So I began my career as a high school social studies teacher, and I also coached at the same time, and then had the opportunity to be a high school assistant principal, principal, assistant superintendent, eventually superintendent of schools. As an educator, we need to celebrate our diversity. We need to acknowledge the contributions that all groups, all ethnicities, all races have made to make our country a phenomenally great country. We need to celebrate those. We need to include those contributions in our social studies curriculum as well as in everyday activities that we have in our schools. Students need to see themselves. They need to see themselves in the curriculum. They need to understand the contributions that a group of people, ethnicity, or culture has made to make our country great.
And how do you implement a program like that? And did you come in like midway in the sense of that those programs had already been established, or what's your experience there?
As a former superintendent of schools, an educator in a public school system, I personally have always gone about the business of celebrating the contributions of everyone, encouraging everyone to celebrate the contributions that we all bring to the table. All of us have strengths, all of us have stories, and we need to tell the story. We need to tell our own story, and we need to tell the story of all the contributions that all people have made to make this a great country.
And how do you do that in individual programs? How do you do that?
Well, as a social studies teacher, as an example, I made sure to include in my classes and what I taught the contributions of all cultures, which is sometimes very difficult because we're a text-based country. We use textbooks as the basis of our curriculum. And sometimes when you look at textbooks, students can't see themselves.
Are textbooks catching up at all, or does the teacher have to kind of add in what they don't have?
Well, textbooks have made a significant improvement since when I was in the school in 60s and 70s. Especially in the area of social studies, textbooks have become more inclusive. However, we're not where we need to be. We still have a long way to go in terms of including and celebrating the contributions of all Americans. However, with online access, with internet access, with opportunities to provide students with experiential learning, we have a great opportunity in our schools and our classrooms to truly bring everyone's contributions into the classroom every day. So as a social studies teacher, I made every effort to include and celebrate. As a superintendent of schools, I encouraged the celebration and inclusion of all students in daily classroom activities and daily routines.
By the way, did some of those activities, were they also extracurricular as well as trying to celebrate various traditions within American society?
Many of those were co-curricular activities in the celebration of contributions of other individuals through an approach of multicultural education, and also using arts immersion in our schools to help our students understand and celebrate all cultures.
Can you give me an example of how you might have done that?
As a superintendent of schools?
Sure, yeah. Was there particular events or particular things in
which the most important thing a superintendent of schools to do is send a message that this is a priority for our school system. that we need to make sure when our students walk through the doors of our schools, they see themselves reflected every day. They see themselves reflected in classroom activities. They see them self-reflected in stories, in text materials, in all materials in the classroom, and we hold up and celebrate those contributions. It's important for students when they walk in the door and they open that textbook or they see that lesson to see themselves and their story being told.
Mary Chantal, I want to turn to you. How do you see this multicultural effort to bring all people into this American story, as it were, moving beyond just simply the classroom? How do you see that impacting society and people as they relate to one another?
Well, first, let me thank you for being here. And I also want to thank Dr. Andes. I know that he was superintendent of another county, but in talking with people from that county over the years, they always spoke very highly of him. And now listening to him, much of some notes that I've jotted down, he says, so I'm very proud and I'm very thankful that he influenced that county. I think your question is about how we, you may have to repeat that again.
That's okay. How do you see it, this teaching, particularly of all the traditions within American history, and how do you see that affecting people, after they leave school? How does it affect us, do you think, generally?
When I was preparing for this, one of the things that came to mind, and I made a note of it, is that, and Dr. Ann has alluded to it, is that when it has something to do with the worth of a person. If the only people that you hear about are European Americans or white American, if that's the only thing you hear, the message that's sent to the rest of the population is that your people have not done anything of worth. And it has something to do with their self-worth and how they feel about themselves. And going through school, that can have a devastating effect on a child, especially if you go through 12 years of not seeing, not hearing about the value of your people. I can remember, and I guess I didn't think about it when I was in school, but thinking back, even though I attended a black school, that school was not governed. It was governed by a white board of education. And so my education was the same as it would have been if I went to a white school. I did not learn about about black history and the value of other people in history until I got out of school, until I got into college. And so that in itself can affect a person's self-esteem. And really, to a certain extent, maybe not give them the motivation to strive to anything, because there's not that, what are you going to strive for? I mean, you've not learned anything about your people doing anything. So it's important, like Dr. Anderson said, it's important to include all Americans and stress the importance and the contribution of all Americans.
When you indicate that, and you went to an all-black school, but basically curriculum is the same as a white school, and you began to learn more about particularly about African American history in college, was when you started learning about that, was it a surprise? Were you surprised by what you were learning, by the fact that you hadn't known this before, and then all of a sudden here you are?
I really didn't necessarily. I learned some in college, but where I learned most of it was with the NAACP.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I began to learn a lot about history and was really surprised. And it was really, it helped my self-esteem. It helped me to strive to be a better person, knowing that there are people that made great contributions in science, literature, and that type of thing. So, but I, I, like I said, I learned it within the NAACP, and it was, it's just things that we expect, like the traffic light. I didn't know who invented the traffic light until I was in my 20s, and I didn't know it was a black man. So it was a lot of things that I didn't know that I should have learned while I was in school. Even with the NAACP, I remember to this day, even the class, there was a little paragraph about the NAACP, not very much. So this to have a, my feeling is that education should be well-rounded. It should make you a well-rounded person. And I especially say that about college, but I think it's that school, when you attend 12 years of school and a little bit longer, you should come out a kind of well-rounded person. You should know about other ethnic groups. You should know about your own. You should come out valuing all people. And that's the thing, is to value all people. All people have worth. And so if we can teach that, not only will we be teaching about contributions, but we'll be helping our children to be better people.
Simone, I want to turn to you, because obviously you come long after we went mm-hmm. to school here. Mm-hmm. What about well, first of all, in terms of going through, say, high school, that sort of, what was your experience there? Was it a diverse kind of multicultural mm-hmm. Integration of what they were teaching you, or was it not? What was your experience?
Well, what I found was when I was younger, meaning elementary school, we did learn a lot of. Well, around Black History Month, we learned facts about African Americans, which is something that I guess you didn't get to learn when you were at a young age, because we did learn about the traffic light. We spent a lot of time on, during Black History Month, we spent a lot of time on African Americans. But I found later on, when I got into middle school as well as high school, that that was kind of taken out of the curriculum, and we didn't spend time on that. And what I find is that I feel like it may have been more beneficial for us to learn about it in middle school and in high school, because we're going out after high school, we're going out and becoming worldly citizens, and we should know about our background as well as others' backgrounds. And I think that kind of hindered maybe me and as well as other students, because we forget. I have forgotten many of Black history facts, many things about my people. And when you're going out into the world, you need to become of the world, you need to be cultured. And so I think that's definitely something that they need to integrate back into middle schools and back into high schools, because you need to know about yourselves. Now in college, I took a course, African American Literature, and that was one of my most favorite courses here at SU, just because it taught me so much beyond basic Black history facts. Because here's the thing, in history and in social studies, you get in depth into a history of a people, you get in depth about their wars, about their backgrounds. But typically with African American history, it's just, here are some facts about your people, the contributions they have made. But we have so much more to offer. And in African American literature, I learned so much. I learned about the psychology of African Americans, about W.E.B. Du Bois' double consciousness, which plays a huge factor in the way I feel like students are in classrooms, whether or not they're vocal. I know that plays a factor in when I'm vocal, even now here in college, and I'm 21 years old. Double consciousness still plays a factor.
Explain for our audience what that means.
Okay, double consciousness is basically it's a psychology that African Americans have, because they always see themselves as a Black American, and then as an American, or W.E.B. Du Bois says as a Negro, and then as an American. So they are constantly aware that they are African American in a society that doesn't see them accepted into the society, but they're also a part of the American society, which is really mind-blowing. And when I learned that, I said, wow, like that's really how I feel. And it's really like, it's like crazy, because it's like a battle that goes on. Like, you are a part of the society, but then you're not. And so I find that when I'm in a classroom, I don't necessarily always want to speak because I'm sometimes surrounded by people that are not like me. But then that's an insecurity of my own, because why should I think that just because we're different skin colors that we don't have anything in common? But I find myself sometimes I want to speak because I don't feel that they can relate, or I just feel that they might not necessarily understand, or they're looking at me in a way I feel like they're looking at me in a stereotypical way. Yeah.
I think it was Melissa Harris Perry, I think, actually wrote a recent book about it's called Sister of Citizen, I think it is, which talks about particularly about black women and exactly the stereotype and living in those two worlds. Do you think that the teaching, particularly for all students, not just for African Americans, of African American history or Asian Americanness, what have you, has that facilitated, do you think, Simone, a better relationship or better understanding between, say, whites and blacks and other folks? So what impact is that, or has it had any impact?
Well, I had to refer back to the African American literature class. I think that it has, because once again, I go to a predominantly white institution, and it's African American literature class, so of course there's not just only African Americans in there. And I thought it was amazing that they opted to take that class, and that they were willing to understand the concepts and the literature, and also the teacher. He was also white American, which I found it was mind blowing. I thought it was, when I say I thought that this was the best courses I've ever taken, because it showed me that there are books out there that help people understand my experience, that help people understand that my people can write literature, you know, that, and they enjoy their literature, that we have something of great caliber, you know. I think it helped great amounts, because it gets people to understand a culture that's not mainstream, that's not in the forefront, and it allowed them to try to understand or grasp the concepts of a people.
Yeah. Because obviously we've been talking predominantly about African American history. But what about there's Asian American history, there's certainly Hispanic.
And that's another thing that I would take a note of. Asian American history, only thing I've learned about that is stuff that I've taken time to research on my own. I can't recall any time that I've learned about Asian American history. And even Native American history, that's typically around Thanksgiving time, you know, and it's typically Indians, you know, I quote, you know, and Columbus is usually associated with a European. Just not African American history, but all histories, I feel like there is a lack of. And when I was in school, and still to this day, history books delve in deeply into European history, but mm-hmm. their history is not just European history, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I definitely think that they need to do a better job in incorporating all histories.
Mary, when you hear a young person like this with so much, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of exploring the world, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I'm sitting here in awe of her. I'm proud of her, and in my mind, I'm thinking we should have her speak, be keynote speaker somewhere. So I'm very proud of her, and one of the things, and I'll share this with her, is that, because I find myself a lot of times in situations where I may be the only African American, and over the years, one of the things that I've internalized, one of the things that I've come to believe is that that I need to teach wherever I am. I don't allow people to, I guess, in some situations, I think sometimes people are made to feel like, and they internalize it, well, you know, I've got the whole race of people on my back. I don't allow that. But over the years, I've learned that it's important that I teach wherever I go, and so that. So not only do I learn from other people, but they get a chance to learn from me. So if I'm listening to something and I have concern about it and whatever, I'll share that concern. So it's just my background. I feel like that it's my mission to teach wherever I am, and so that our folks can better understand each other. And one of the things that I also did in preparation of coming here, I talked with an administrator at the Wicomico County School System about multicultural education, and because our branch had been involved with attending training locally and statewide in multicultural. And I kind of had in my mind what I thought that the school system on how they would define it. So I talked with her about it, and she had mentioned that she instruct teachers to infuse, and that's the word that she used, infuse diverse cultural information in all the curriculum. Like if you're teaching about science, then bring in information about American scientists, whether they be Native American, whether they be African American or whatever, but bring in the information that would pertain to the subject. And so she said that that's something that they try to get them to see that should be done year wide. But one another thing that she mentioned is that like in this country, you have certain months, like I think March is Women History Month and whatever. So in those months, they're expected to give additional information about that group of people. So, you know, but another thing that I kind of jotted down when I knew we were going to talk about this is that, and it's my hope that I know that when January rolls around, in reference to history, many people will talk about Martin Luther King Jr., and in February we'll talk about Dr. King, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, and the same few people all the time. And by the way, people always remind me, February, which is Black History Month, is the shortest month of the year.
Did they give you a break? I don't know.
But if you are infusing Black history and Black literature and Native American literature throughout the year, it doesn't matter if it's the shortest month, because you're doing it, like McDonald said, 365 days a year. And so, and that's the, you know, the important thing. I am, again, I'm sitting here in awe of the young lady.
John Andes, when you hear this young student talk about her experience is very sophisticated, what's your reaction?
Simone affirms in my mind that she is part of one of the greatest generations of Americans. And I'm so
That's
pleased.
That's really true, though. And, no, it really is.
No modesty.
Yeah.
And I'm so pleased and proud of Simone and her experiences in public school system coming out of Baltimore City and her high-level success at Salisbury University. She is part of one of the greatest generations of Americans that America has ever produced, and we're very proud of her.
Talking about, again, I'll shoot this to you, John, but you know, on the peninsula, we now have, I guess, a growing Hispanic population, and it should get much greater now than it in the future than it is now. I know for in Delaware, it's experienced particularly a large influx. How does a school then go about trying to handle the kind of influx of people who they may have some language issues, although a lot of them don't, because they were either born here or came here so young that their facility with English and Spanish is actually fairly equal. How does a school deal with that kind of influx, and how do you change, do you think?
Well, what school systems need to do is reach out to families and welcome families. We need to encourage families to participate in our schools and participate in our school system, because we know if families are involved, their children are involved, and the children will be successful. So through a variety of initiatives, when I'm superintendent of schools in Worcester County Public Schools, we reached out to families, especially Hispanic and Latino families, who happen to live in Worcester County through a variety of ways, including cultural celebration evenings, cultural nights, family nights, so forth and so on. Again, to engage parents and to involve parents and to bring parents into the schools, because we understand that if we can engage the family and bring the family in the school, then the children will be successful.
Simone, I'm going to turn to you because the Hispanic population is growing not only here in the peninsula, but as everybody knows, they've been watching the elections. Hispanic community very well could be one of the great deciding votes. They're probably one of the fastest growing minority groups. What have you learned about the Hispanic communities? Have you been here and have you had classes or what's your experience?
When I was back in high school, there wasn't a large like influx of the Hispanic community in my high school just yet. I don't know about maybe now. But when I was a sophomore here, I did volunteer work at elementary school, and there was a large Hispanic population there. And I totally agree with Dr. Andes when he says that the family should get involved, because one of my mentees, like, she was like off to the side, and she was Hispanic, and I felt like that she didn't feel like included in the classroom. You know, she probably feels much more included when she's at home with her family or with other Spanish speaking individuals, maybe in her neighborhood, but not at school. And I definitely think that bringing the family in will definitely help make them feel welcome and make them feel incorporated. Because the whole thing, I think that everyone has to embrace is change. The world changes daily, and it's changing rapidly. And as educators and as students and as teachers and as governments, we should try to keep up with that change. If America is about diversity, I feel that we have done a poor job in trying to create diversity or create all diversity with different races, not just African Americans, not just Europeans, but every race. Yeah.
The particular person you're talking about, how did you reach out to this person?
Yeah. I definitely tried to make her feel welcome. I always went back to her, the same student, because we had the option of going to different, but I really wanted to be with her just because, just to show her some type of love and embrace. Not saying that she didn't get that, but she, I feel like maybe she kind of maybe experienced double consciousness herself. But yeah. But I haven't been back there, so I don't know how she's doing, but I hope that she's better incorporated.
Do you think you learned something from her?
I do. Yeah, because she was strong. Even as a young child, she was strong. And I feel that's you can learn anything from anyone, but strength is definitely what I learned from her. She stood on her own, and she was still herself. She didn't try to be like everyone else. She was still herself. So that's what I can appreciate.
Yeah. We've been talking about cultural diversity, and certainly in the schools, as well as teaching about various American traditions, which have often in the past have gotten ignored. I certainly, when I went to school, there was a lot left out, which I was sorry to learn that it was left out, because America is such a highly diverse place. And our studio and guest again, Mary Shante, she's with the Waccamaco County branch of the NAACP. John Andes, he's the former superintendent at the Worcester County Public Schools and Salisbury University student. Simone Brown, she's a senior studying communication. You've been listening to Delmarva Today, and thanks for listening.
This has been Delmarva Today, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. Chris Rank produces and is our audio engineer. Our volunteer producers are Penny Hartman, Kathleen Grout, and Jim White. Don Rush is your host. For podcasts, visit our website, delmarvapublicradio.net, or subscribe to the Delmarva Today podcast in iTunes. Delmarva Today can now be seen on PAC-14. To view the schedule, visit the Daily Times or visit PAC14.org.